Tonight, Rockline welcomes Genesis keyboardist and solo artist Tony Banks. So get your questions ready and call us toll-free in the U.S. and Canada at 1-800-344-ROCK. That's 1-800-344-7625. One number toll-free from anywhere in North America. Well, just a few months ago, when Genesis was on Rockline, Tony Banks announced that he would release a solo CD in North America sometime in the spring. Well, that time has come. Still, the fourth and brand new solo CD from Tony is his most approachable and cohesive to date. Well, let's head to 101 KLOL in Houston, Texas to welcome Mr. Tony Banks. Tony, good evening and welcome.
Good evening to you. Thanks very much.
Thanks on the CD. Congratulations on it. I find it really enjoyable. I think it's your best of the four that you've done so far. How do you feel about it?
Well, I feel very strongly about it as well. I like it a lot. Whether it's the best, time only will tell, but I certainly like it a lot now.
Why are you in Houston? Why don't you inform our audience what you're doing there?
That's a very good question. Well, we're rehearsing here with Genesis at the moment. We've found a place that's big enough to kind of hold our whole show, because we're doing a stadium tour, as you know. And we're using a blimp hangar, which is the only place we could find that's big enough to hold it. And it's actually great place. It's we can get everything in there, and we're able to kind of rehearse lights and things during the daytime. That was the idea of it.
That's great. I mean, when you're in a blimp hangar to rehearse a show, you're talking a big production. Is it an extra challenge to do a stadium show? I mean, what can you give the guy in the last row when you're doing a stadium show?
Well, that's what we're trying to do, really. Is the whole idea is to make the thing as kind of as large as possible, in a way, not just in sheer size, but in the way that it comes across. Because the problem with these kind of shows in the past, what we tended to do is adapt an arena show and do it in a stadium. This time we want to do it so that we're actually only doing a stadium tour this year, so this show is completely constructed for it, and we're using the sort of like the brightest screens we can get, which are these jumbotrons. And I think the whole thing's going to be very impressive, actually.
Well, the show, the stadium tour, begins at Texas Stadium in Dallas on May 8th, then into the Astrodome there in Houston, where Tony is located tonight on May 9th. Then there's some time off. What do you do when you have this time to fill in on a stadium tour? What do you like to do in between shows when you have a couple of days off?
Well, we don't normally get time in between. Originally, the plan was we were going to rehearse in Texas, and then we were going to take some time off and then start the tour. But then the idea, obviously, you know, manager's decision was that we should do a gig at the end of the rehearsal period. And then the idea of doing Dallas and Houston seemed logical, obviously, to do them at this point rather than later, because we're here already. So really, that's the end of the rehearsal period. Then we go, I'm actually going home for about 3 or 4 days.
Oh,
and then coming back and starting the tour in again, restarting, if you like, in Miami.
At Joe Robbie Stadium on May 16th, as a matter of fact. Let's talk about your new CD still. New in North America, anyway. It was released in Europe last year, I believe. There are actually five vocalists in this CD, aren't there?
There are indeed. Well, if you can call me a vocalist.
Well, yes, indeed I do, yeah.
All right. Well, the main reason for having the other vocalist, obviously, is because my own voice, I feel, is fairly limited, but I do enjoy doing a bit of singing. And also, I use a girl singer on the record, which is obviously something I can't do myself. And then the other three singers were just singers that I liked. One of them, Nick Kershaw, is someone some people may have heard of. I think he's always been more popular in England than over here, but he's a singer I've liked for a long time. The other singer, Fish, is another singer I worked with a few years ago, in fact. He worked with a group called Marillion until quite recently. Some people may know of them, and I like his voice very much. So, you know, it was a chance for me just to work with a few different people, a few different voices, and try and get voices to match the different kind of styles of the songs.
We're going to start off with Angel Face, and this is a song you wrote the music and the lyrics for. When you wrote this song, did you have Fish in mind to sing it when you wrote it?
Well, I knew I was going to work with Fish, but this particular track, I didn't know who was going to write it, going to sing it at the time. You know, I mean, I wrote it originally for my own voice, but not with the intention of singing it myself. Mm-hmm. But when, you know, we got one other song we were going to do together on the record, and with this one, I just felt his kind of soulful approach, if you like, would just suit the lyric very well, and it's, you know, I really like the way it's turned out.
Me too. Let's listen to it right now on Rockline. We're with Tony Banks of Genesis. The number is toll-free, 1-800-344-ROCK. This is Angel Face on the Global Satellite Network. CD Still is the name of the CD, and that is called Angel Face, featuring Fish, formerly with Marillion, on vocals on that track. We'll take a brief time out. We'll come back in a moment. Your number to talk with Tony is toll-free, 1-800-344-ROCK. It's Rockline on the Global Satellite Network. Welcome back to Rockline. I'm Bob Coburn. It's an evening with Tony Banks, solo artist and member of Genesis. We'd like to re-welcome a station tonight. I say re-welcome because they were part of Rockline for many, many years. It is great to welcome back 94 WYSP in Philadelphia. We are pleased to have you on again, and we'd love to hear from you tonight as well. First call for Tony tonight is Barry in West Lafayette, Indiana, listening to Q95 in Indianapolis. Barry, you're on with Tony on the Rockline. Barry, are you there? Barry, you got your last chance.
Here.
Okay, get on, man.
In a previous interview, you stated that Still would be your final solo album. What brought on this tragic decision?
And is that true?
Well, I didn't really put it like that. What I said was that I maybe, you know, depending a little bit on how things go with this one, but maybe it was the last time I'd go for an album with this in this particular kind of approach, i.e. trying to do something which is perhaps... an album, a sort of pop album, if you like, doing series of songs and all the rest of it. I mean, there are lots of other approaches I could take to music. One would be obviously to go more instrumental. Another would be to concentrate more heavily on things like film writing and possibly TV writing and things like that, all of which things I would enjoy. It's just that I've tried this approach for sort of like the last two or three albums, and you know, and it's sometimes it's hard. You know, you finish a record, you come out of it very enthusiastic, and when you don't get quite the response you want, I'm not saying that's happened with this one, but with the previous one, you know, it's a difficult thing to take each time, and you wonder whether how much longer you're going to go on doing it, because that's not such a good feeling. But you know, it really depends a bit how things go.
Well, I hope this takes off because there's some outstanding songs on here. You ought to get a copy of it. Still by Tony Banks. Barry, thanks for starting us off. Chris is on the line in Calgary, Alberta, a listener of Kick 107 FM. Chris, you're on the show with Tony Banks.
Hey, Tony, how's it going?
Very good. Hello, Chris.
Yeah, I was wondering here, is it a difficult transition going between Genesis and your solo career?
I don't have any real problems, actually, because the approach we take is kind of different, I suppose, because all Genesis music that you've heard on the last three records at least, and quite a bit of the stuff before, has been written by the three of us together, going into a room with nothing prepared and just improvising, and what you hear is on the albums is a result of that improvisation, whereas what I do on my own is stuff that I write on my own. So kind of that accumulates, I suppose, over the years a bit. I mean, I've got masses and masses of stuff. I could fill about 10 albums probably with stuff that has never seen the light of day. So when you get to doing a record, you have a lot of choice, and it's a matter then of working out what I want to do and how I want to do it. It's great fun to be able to follow an idea right through from beginning to end, you know, with no kind of compromising with other people. Sometimes that is very pleasurable. I mean, I love working with Genesis and everything, but obviously everything you do ends up being a combination effort, if you like, and there's a great feeling when you've done something totally on your own.
There you go. Chris, thanks for being on the Rockline with us. We move on now to Guelph, Ontario, a listener of Q107 in Toronto. His name is Scott, and Scott, here's Tony for you.
Tony, how are you?
I'm very well.
It's a real honor to speak to you, Tony. I'm a keyboard player myself, and I've got to admit, you're probably my biggest influence.
Well, thank you very much, Scott.
Before I get to my question, I have to compliment you on your songwriting. You've written so many good tunes for Genesis, Firth the Fifth, One for the Vine, Undertow, the list goes on and on. You've just written so many great tunes.
Thank you very much.
Okay, I have two questions for you, Tony, if it's possible, if I can get them both on. The first one, now I know that you and Peter Gabriel go way back to the Charterhouse days, and you two pretty well started Genesis. Why then hasn't he appeared on any of your solo stuff, or can you explain why you haven't played on any of his, and do you guys still keep in touch at all?
We keep in touch. Well, in terms of us having ever played on each other's stuff, I mean, I think there's always room for that in the future, to be honest. I think the reason why we kind of avoided it a bit is it's just nice to be working with different people, I suppose, is half the thing. And I spent a long time, you know, about 10 years of my kind of musical life working with Peter. And I just, perhaps, you know, it just was nice to move on to other people. But in many ways, I think we did do some quite special stuff together, and I would like to do some things with him again, probably sometime in the future. But I really don't sort of, it's something I don't think can be hurried.
There you go, Scott. There's the answer for you. And you mentioned Firth of Fifth, and that takes me back to the cinema show and songs like that in that era of Genesis. If you like that style, there's a song on this CD called Still It Takes Me By Surprise, where Tony stretches out a little bit with a long keyboard solo. And it's reminiscent of those days. Hopefully we can play that, maybe not. People want to talk with Tony tonight. We'll do what we can. Right now we'll play from We Can't Dance, I Can't Dance. Genesis with Tony Banks on Rockline on the Global Satellite Network. I Can't Dance. Too busy playing in the band there. That's Genesis and We Can't Dance and Rockline. Tony Banks, our guest for the entire program tonight. Some more of the stadium tour dates for you right now. Tampa Stadium on the 17th in Tampa, RFK in Washington, D.C. on the 19th of May, 21st at the Hoosier Dome in Indianapolis, Ohio State University in Columbus on the 22nd, then into the Silver Dome in Pontiac on the 24th of May. And those of you listening in Cleveland will see Genesis at the cavernous Cleveland Stadium on May 25th. We have a call from Barry. He's in Akron, Ohio, listening to 100.7 The Buzzard in Cleveland, and you're on the show with Tony Banks. Barry?
Hi, Tony. I'm a big fan of yours and Genesis. I'd like to know, could you talk about your formal musical training a little bit and also how that might influence your writing and playing?
Well, I was taught at school, you know, like a lot of people are, just piano. I learned it up to a certain standard. To be honest, I never really got very good at it. And what I almost at one point gave up playing the piano, but then I found sort of playing by ear, if you like, when I was about sort of 12 or 13, and I found that it's so much easier to do. I could actually listen to a track and then I just could play it once I'd heard it, and it was far more entertaining for me and stuff. And I'm a bit lazy, really, I suppose, and learning kind of stuff, you know, learning classical pieces, I found just a bit boring to do only just doing that. And when you're doing grades and stuff at England, that was kind of all it was. And I found that by doing the music by ear as well, meant you could play a thing almost instantly. And that got my interest back in it. And from then I got back into classical music again as well. I think early days of Genesis, introducing kind of some classical style, if you like, into rock music was kind of an original thing to do. And it was one of the things that sort of we kind of like started doing, I suppose, back in about 1970. And for that reason, it was useful, I think, just to provide something different. And I mean, certainly I still, you know, it's great to have that classical knowledge behind you and sort of the technique it involves.
He's got both there, Barry. He's been well-trained and he can play by ear. And we're going to move on now and let David have his chance. He's in North Providence, Rhode Island, a listener of 94HJY. And David, you're on the rock line.
Hi, Tony. How are you?
I'm very well, David.
Okay, I just want to say, first of all, I'm a really big fan of yours and of Genesis. It's a real pleasure.
Thanks a lot.
Okay, I had a question about the upcoming tour.
Yep.
And I was wondering if, you mentioned something a few months ago about doing a section of older songs.
Yep.
And I was wondering if you're going to be doing anything from the song Supper's Ready, because that's one of my favorites.
Well, I should always just answer yes to all these questions, so then you come to the show, you know, and all the people who want to hear that would hear it. But the problem with Supper's Ready, it's one of those songs, it's a very long song, you know, it's 26 minutes long. And as I'm sure you know, we've got so many songs over the years. We're trying to fit them all into a thing, into this show. So we're doing a section of old music that is almost as long as that, but it doesn't involve any Supper's Ready, or not on this tour. Maybe next tour, I don't know. It's just, you know, you can't do everything, is the honest answer, I'm afraid.
And Supper's Ready has been done in previous tours, and not all that long ago either, yeah.
That's true, we did do it, and we also did the end section of Supper's Ready a few times on its own as well, but it's a lovely song, but the problem is, when you're playing to a lot of people who perhaps have come from slightly more recent albums, to play them a sort of a 26-minute song, which is from a previous era, particularly if you're doing a stadium tour and it's got lots of quiet bits, you know, maybe if we're doing indoors, then maybe we, you know, it's easier to do. But outdoors, I think you would tend to lose people.
Hey, still head to Cleveland Stadium, David, and enjoy Supper's Ready on the CD. How's that for you? We have Catherine on the line now in Sherwood Forest, Maryland. There is a Sherwood Forest in America. She's listening to 98 Rock in Baltimore. Catherine, you're on.
Hi.
Hello.
Tony, on most of your albums, you use vocals other than yourself. Do you write words for a certain voice type of vocalist in mind?
Well, sometimes. It really depends a bit. Some lyrics, obviously, I write before I kind of know who's going to sing it, and other lyrics I write knowing who's going to sing it. I mean, on this record, there's a couple of songs that I used a girl singer called Janie Climack, who's an unknown singer, but I wrote with her voice in mind, you know, because I'd worked with her before. And one of the songs I did, you know, with Nick Kershaw, you know, I wrote with his voice in mind. It's a matter of, you know, other songs I often write with my own, I just sing it myself. That's the most first thing I do, and then I listen to how that sounds, and if that doesn't sound too good, which is normally the case, I think who maybe would sound better. And just look around. And when I had a choice of five singers on this record, and obviously it was easy to get kind of the right person for each song.
The vocalist who has not been mentioned is Andy Taylor, and he is not the Andy Taylor of Duran Duran fame, correct?
No, not unless by saying that people go out and buy the record because it's Duran Duran fans.
Yeah,
you know?
Well, it could be him. I could be mistaken.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. No, it's not. It's not him. This is another English unknown singer. I was looking for a particular kind of voice, and I just loved his voice, and I thought it'd be very appropriate for the ballad, the song you mentioned before, "Still It Takes Me by Surprise," the one that you'd like to play but can't. You know that one.
Right.
His voice sounded lovely on it. Really, I wanted someone who had a kind of bluesy voice to do the ballad rather than do it in a straight manner, and I think the effect is very good.
This Andy Taylor was in a band called the Jazz Devils. We'll take a time out. We'll come back with a song that features Nick Kershaw on the lead vocal for the brand new CD by Tony Banks. Still is the name of the CD. It's An Evening with Tony Banks and Rockline on the Global Satellite Network. Call us toll free at 1-800-344-ROCK.
Coming to Pittsburgh.
Hi, this is Melissa Etheridge, and I'll be taking your calls live and nationwide next week on Rockline.
All right, Melissa, that is 1 week from tonight. Melissa Etheridge with her brand new album. Also coming soon to Rockline, guitarist extraordinaire Gary Moore, Geddy Lee, and Alex Lifeson of Rush, as well as Emerson, Lake, and Palmer debuting their new album. And Paul Stanley and Gene Simmons of Kiss have been booked as well. Tonight, we're with Genesis keyboardist and solo artist Tony Banks, and we're going to play another song for you from Still, the latest solo CD by Tony Banks, Red Day on Blue Street, on Rockline on the Global Satellite Network. That is the song that actually opens the new CD, Still, by Tony Banks, and that, of course, is called Red Day on Blue Street. Tony is at 101 KLOL in Houston tonight. I'm in the Hollywood Rockline studio. Tony will be with Genesis on May 26th at Three Rivers Stadium in Pittsburgh, then Foxborough Stadium in Foxborough, Mass., and the 28th to 29th Olympic Stadium in Montreal, and Veterans Stadium in Philadelphia. Two shows for you guys, hey! May 31st and also June 1st there in Philadelphia. We have Don on the line. He's listening to in Claymont, Delaware, on new affiliate, 94 WYSP in Philadelphia, the city that's going to get two shows with Genesis. And Don, you're on the air.
Okay, Tony, first of all, I'd like to say I'm very avid fan of you and Genesis.
Thanks a lot.
And I'd like to know if your music, if you prefer the old, I guess I could say the old Genesis, where a lot of the songs seem to be or appear to be stories, such as Dance on a Volcano, One for the Vine, 11th Earl Mar, things like that. Do you prefer to do those type, or do you prefer to do from personal experiences, making songs from personal experiences?
Well, I think it took me a while to sort of get to the stage where I could sort of write things in a slightly more kind of personal way, I think. I mean, the stories are a way of hiding. It's a certain way of writing, and I think it's fun to write in fantasy, you know, which is what a lot of the early Genesis was. Slightly more difficult to write kind of more realistic lyrics. I like both aspects, really. I think it's good, you know. We tend to, you know, deal slightly more in real issues nowadays. That's just the way we kind of feel, you know. It gets more difficult. You know, you can't start writing about hobgoblins. It doesn't seem right now, you know. Whereas back in 1971, it seemed quite appropriate, you know. So times have changed, and you feel differently about things, and that's the nature of rock music, is it does change over time. But I think both things have their role. You know, maybe in 5 years' time, we'll be back there. It'll all be trolls and giants. You know, we'll be back. I don't think so, but it is possible. It's always possible, you know.
Don, that's a really good question, and it's great to have Philadelphia back in the air again. We have John on the line in Tampa, Florida now on Rockline, a listener of 95YNF. Here's Tony Banks for you, John.
Hi. Tony, hi. I think you're the greatest keyboardist. I was just wondering about Still, and also you can also talk about Genesis in the same time, but how is your album going to be promoted? Is your company going to promote it, like try to get it on Top 40, AOR radio, where there'll be a video? How about maybe an Unplugged performance, you know, an MTV Unplugged? Because, I mean, to be honest, I haven't heard much about Still, even in Rolling Stone or Review. The only way I found out is through our Genesis mailing list over the computer network.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was just wondering how much publicity and promotion.
All I can say is that, you know, this album is out on Giant Records, and they're certainly, you know, doing as much as they can. I mean, you can only do so much. I mean, you have to, you use what you can, really. The problem is, you know, if Madonna's got an album out, it's obviously more newsworthy than if Tony Banks has got an album out, and you have to sort of accept that, really. You just have to do what you can. Yes, there are. I've made a couple of videos for this album, and hopefully they will get shown, and we do everything we can. But obviously the music we're trying to put across is perhaps not quite so straight ahead as some other music, and that is always a slight problem, I think. You know, everybody it's always easier to sell certain kinds of things than certain other kinds of things. And I suppose one would have to say this album is not as easy as some others. But I, you know, I hope that for people who certainly have liked Genesis over the years, and a lot of people who say they, you know, some people say they prefer stuff in the past and everything, I think it's always worth checking out, you know, kind of what I do really, because, you know, if it's the kind of those chord changes and slightly longer songs and everything you like, then there's certainly some of that there, as well as some other stuff that's perhaps a little more straight ahead.
There you go, John. And you got to admit, it's nice to hear it on Rockline tonight, isn't it, huh? Tell you what, we're going to head to Albany, New York, and talk with Deb. She's a listener of Pix 106. And speaking of New York, two dates at Giant Stadium in East Rutherford coming up on June 2nd and 3rd. And then Syracuse, too, at the Carrier Dome on June 5th. Then into Toronto at the Sky Dome on June 6th. And we'd like to welcome Deb to the show now. Deb, you're on the air with us.
Hi there. Hello, Tony.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
I actually have two quick questions for you, but before I get to them, I just want to say something in response to the previous caller, and that I'm really glad to see you finally getting some exposure on the radio, because I've always felt that you were a tremendous musician and that you always deserved a bit more of the limelight that, you know, than you might have been getting. Anyway, just wanted to give some credit where credit's due there.
All right.
Well, thank you very much. I would never disagree, you know, but... Thank you.
Anyway, my first question is kind of in relation to something that someone else brought up earlier about your female vocalists. I know that you've worked with Toya and Janie Climac, and I was wondering if you'd ever considered working with Kate Bush.
Well, yes, I mean, I love Kate Bush's voice, actually. The thing is, it's always a problem with all this incestuous stuff, you know, because Peter obviously did this song with Kate Bush, a beautiful song, Don't Give Up, you know, which is a sort of... one of my favourite songs that Pete's ever done, actually. And I think Kate's, she's got kind of quite associated with Peter, you know. So for that reason, I've never ever made an kind of approach to her on this sort of subject, you know. But I mean, she's a singer I like very much, and I like what she does on her own as well. So certainly she's never someone I would rule out, you know, but I've never actually asked her.
I'm going to go from a different angle here. Have you ever thought of doing a whole album with Fish?
I can't say I haven't thought about it, you know. I don't think, you know, from his point of view, I mean, he's got his own kind of career, really. The thing is, it probably for both of us, I think we both find it a bit limiting, really, because there are certain ways I want to drag him, you know, and there are certain things that he wants to do, you know. And I think he'd be trying to sort of, like, he wants to do kind of, he does these sort of, I don't know how to describe them. He does these things that are kind of like heavy metal Scottish jigs he likes to do, you know, sometimes, which I'm not sure I could get into them, you know. And on the other hand, some of the things I try and make him do, you know. I mean, it took a long time to do the Angel Face vocal with him because he finds it quite difficult to sing a written melody. He likes melodies. It's much better for him if he can kind of improvise them himself a bit, which is more what we did on Another Murder of a Day, was kind of, you know, tied down his kind of his natural improvisations, you know, mm-hmm. which is a nice way to work, actually. But I don't know about doing a whole album of it, really. But I mean, you know, I never rule anything out.
Deb, well, we have Tony on the line for you. Anything else?
Well, yeah, this is actually kind of more of a request than a question. I've seen Genesis 5 times, and I'm shooting for times number 6 and 7 in Foxborough and Syracuse.
Great.
And seeing as how my chances of ever getting a backstage pass for an autograph are rather slim, right. I was wondering if Tony could see his way clear to possibly send me an autograph.
Well, I mean, I'm sure he could, yes.
I tell you what, if you can do something there in the KLOL 101 Houston studio, and they will forward it to Rockline, we will write down your name and address, and we will mail it to you. And I'm sure, Tony, you'll do that, won't you?
Oh, I'll definitely do that. I'll do it, yeah.
Deb, consider it done. Hey, anything we can do for you, just give us a call here, all right? Number's toll-free, 1-800-344-ROCK. Let's play a Genesis song. This is Home by the Sea from the album Genesis on Rockline. And welcome back to Rockline. I'm Bob Coburn. We're with Tony Banks this evening. Some more Genesis concert dates. The stadium tour, June 7th, the Carrier Dome in Syracuse. June 9th at Camp Randall Stadium. That's in Madison, Wisconsin. Also the 10th at the Metrodome in Minneapolis. Then you'll find the band at Commonwealth Stadium in Edmonton, Alberta, June 12th, followed by BC Place in Vancouver, BC on June 14th. And we have Dick in College Station ready to talk with Tony Banks right now, who is located in Houston. In fact, Dick is listening to 101 KLOL in Houston. We welcome him to the program. Dick, you're on.
Hi, Tony.
Hi, Dick.
Welcome to the great state of Texas. We'll be making a weekend of seeing you on the 8th and 9th in Dallas.
Oh, great.
Houston.
Thanks very much.
I've got a couple quick questions. You've done some tremendous instrumentals in the past, like Charm and 33s from the Undertow. Will you be integrating these more into your future rock-oriented albums? And secondly, if I can get a quick one in, somebody mentioned the Genesis computer mailing list, and one of the dying questions on this list is, who is Gabble Ratchet from Apocalypse and 9-8 from Supper's Ready?
Well, the last question is easy to answer because it's fictitious, I'm afraid. Nice to give some sort of different answer to that, but that's the way it goes. The in terms of what I do, well, in the future, you know, I mean, as I said, I mean, whatever I'll do, I'll be doing something, you know what I mean? And if I'm allowed to, at least. And the instrumental stuff, I mean, I like the instrumental stuff on my records. I always have done, really. Instrumentals tend to get kind of overlooked a bit, I suppose. But it's an area, you know, that obviously being an instrumentalist, I suppose, it's something that I do a lot of. And I've done a lot of work with films and things in the past, and it's something I want to do more of. From the undertow that you mentioned, there was actually used as the theme music to a film called The Shout back in sort of the early 70s or something. And, you know, I mean, that sort of area is something I'd like to do very much, and I'd like to do more of it.
Now, Dick, you're in College Station, which is where Texas A&M is. That's north of Houston. You're going to both shows, Dallas and Houston?
Well, I missed the last tour because I was in Africa, where world tours don't seem to go. And I'm making up for it by seeing them twice this time.
Ah, there you go. There's a diehard fan for you there, Tony. Dick, thanks for the call.
All right, thanks, Tony.
All right, enjoy both shows. Steve is on the line in Jacksonville, Florida. Rock 105 is our station. Steve, here's Tony.
Good evening, Tony. Good to speak with you.
Thank you very much, Steve.
First of all, I'd like to congratulate you on a new album. It's so far, from what I've heard, it sounds really good, and I'm definitely going to buy it. My question was, on the new album, the extended jams on Fading Lights and Living Forever, are those getting easier for you all to put out, or are they getting, are they, you know, take a lot of practice and work?
Well, no, really. I mean, it's a matter with those kind of things. It's always a matter of trying to condense it down to something that is a reasonable length. I mean, you know, Fading Lights, you know, we've had improvisations of about sort of like 3 or 4 hours, you know, on that one riff, you know, which was sort of, you know, fun to do. I mean, these kind of things, we have no problem with coming up with those kind of things. I think the problem is, you know, with the great thing about the CD, you know, we've got 70 minutes of music on the We Can't Dance album, and therefore you feel you can stretch out a bit more. I think we felt with Invisible Touch, we had our hands tied a little bit more, and we didn't want to put on too much of that kind of thing. This time, a lot of good instrumental music was coming up, so we decided we would get them on the record. And I think in many ways, you know, Fading Lights, the way it works, is, you know, it's a very strong piece of music, the way it works, because of that instrumental section in the middle. And as I said, it's a great thing about CD. You've got the more time to play with.
There you go. Steve, thank you very much for calling. We're going to talk with Yvonne right now in St. Catharine, Ontario. She's a listener of Q107 in Toronto. We'll be up in that part of the world with Rush in a couple of weeks on Rockline, as a matter of fact. Right now, it's with Tony Banks and Yvonne. Here he is for you.
Hello, Tony.
Hi, Yvonne.
Hi. I first have to say that I think you're the greatest keyboardist there is.
Thank you very much.
Okay, and my question is, what is the difference between the music industry in England and Europe opposed to America, and which do you prefer?
Well, the main difference is you don't get Garth Brooks anywhere near any the top of the charts in Europe, actually. I mean, it's a fascinating thing. I mean, country music is very much an American thing. It just means nothing outside America, which is extraordinary, really. But I don't know, it's a difficult one for me to say this because I don't really pay enough attention, I think, to what ends up being sort of hit music. You know, my own favorite record around at the moment is a Crowded House album, which is, I think, doing very well in England. I don't think it's doing so well over here. The last count it wasn't, anyhow. But they keep releasing the wrong singles, so that's their own fault, I suppose. It's just got such great tracks on it, and they keep putting out the worst tracks. But it's, you know, who's to say? I love Randy Newman. You know, he's American. So it's a matter of different things. I think I'm not wouldn't say that I'm part of the mainstream here at all. I'm not particularly that excited by a lot of the things that end up being big success on either side of the Atlantic, to be honest. I think over in America, you always get there's always a slightly more chance in America because of the way radio is, because you've got so many radio stations that somebody can bubble up from one area and become a sort of national success. Whereas in England, you've already only got the one station that counts. And if you don't get played on that, you haven't got a chance.
Okay, you mentioned country music in England. How do you explain Slim Whitman? Come on now, Tony.
Well, you know, we have our problems in England. No. Slim Whitman is it's an amazing thing, actually. I remember when we had, when we put And Then There Were Three out, which was at the time, obviously, our most successful record. But there were two records that sold more than us that year. One of them was Saturday Night Fever, and the other one was Slim Whitman's Greatest Hits. I mean, you know, as you say, it's an amazing thing, you know. But some reason or other, Garth Brooks hasn't made it over there yet, which, you know, I don't know anything. I don't know the reason for that. Perhaps somebody else does.
We're going to play a song right now. This is some Still by Tony Banks with Andy Taylor on the vocal on this. It's called The Gift on Rockline. The Gift from Still by Tony Banks and Rockline. I'm Bob Coburn. Some more concert dates. We'll wrap up what is scheduled for the stadium tour for Genesis. 15th and 16th, two dates at Tacoma Dome. Also Dodger Stadium in Los Angeles on June 18th. They don't let many people play there. That's a rare treat. Oakland Coliseum the 20th of June, then June 23rd, Cyclone Stadium in Ames, Iowa, and the 24th and 25th, the World Music Theater in the city of Chicago. We have Kevin on the line in Indianapolis, a listener of Q95. We'd like to introduce you to Tony Banks. Kevin?
Tony, hi. Great to talk to you.
Hi, Kevin.
I would first like to say to anybody out there that hasn't bought a Tony Banks album, do yourself the favor. I've been a fan since The Fugitive, and everything is just wonderful and fantastic. And I can't wait to get my copy of Still.
Well, but, I'll take your advice.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, you don't have a copy yet, Tony? But actually, my question is a two-part kind of related question. I saw in the Duke credits, I'm one of those divided guitar player, keyboard player types.
Right.
And every time I listen to something you do, and I go, man, I should really play keyboard instead. Yes. But I saw in Duke that you played 12-string guitar as well as a duck. And I was really wondering, what is the duck that all you guys played in Duke?
Well, it's only Phil and I played the duck together. It was just kind of, it was an attempt, it was a way of triggering. It was, this is back in early days, you know, before technology could sort of give you, you know, all the things you wanted, really. Well, it was a way of triggering the, I think it was a Yamaha CS80 synthesizer. We triggered it using Phil's voice. But he used it, instead of, this was trying to get a sort of brass sound on a couple of tracks, particularly behind the lines. And the way of doing it was using a duck call. He'd, you know, one of those duck call things you can get. We used that into the microphone, and it got just the right kind of sound. And so that we put it down, and we played a duck, and we hoped a few people would ask a question about it. You're the first person, I think.
The first
since
one.
Since the album was released, who's asked us about that. So there you go.
And the deepest secrets are revealed here on Rockline, ladies and gentlemen. What else tonight for you, Kevin?
Other than that, Tony, when did you start playing guitar, and do you enjoy it as much as keyboards, or are you pretty much just a wonderful synthesist?
I always enjoyed playing guitar. I played guitar when I was at school, really, and on the early Genesis albums, I played a lot. I mean, I wrote a lot of things on guitar back in those days. I mean, the opening parts of Supper's Ready was a guitar part of mine, you know. I like guitar because I can, you know, particularly in those days, I didn't know what I was playing half the time, whereas on a keyboard, I tend to always know what I'm about to do, you know. On a guitar, because I wasn't so sort of good at it, you could sort of move your hands around and you'd make noises that sounded good and you weren't quite sure what it was you were playing. And there's the nature of a guitar, just different chord shapes tend to come out than would do on a piano. And so I like guitar a lot, but I've never got to, I mean, I would call myself a kind of rather, a sort of a background kind of rhythm guitarist, really. I did try doing a little bit of lead guitar on one of my solo albums, on the first one, A Curious Feeling, where I played all the guitar and bass as well, in fact. And a little bit of lead guitar on that. But the only way I could do it was by taping up half the strings and putting foam rubber under the other ones to stop all the strings resonating all the time. So I don't think I'm not a budding Eric Clapton anyhow.
Kevin, there you go, and good luck with your music, okay? There is an epic on Still by Tony Banks called Another Murder of a Day. Is this one where you let Fish meander a little bit with the lyrics and play around a little as you recorded this?
Well, that's right. I mean, I let him write the lyrics for this, because if I'm long-winded, he's even more long-winded than I am, you know. And but the thing about this was, I left, particularly on the first part of it, I left his left him to kind of improvise melodies. And then kind of we went through all the improvisations and we sort of tied him down a bit and selected a few things and tried to get a few different notes in. So it sort of is quite a spontaneous kind of piece of singing in that sense. And I think it gets sort of the best out of his voice, if you like, rather than trying to tie him down too much like I'd perhaps tried on the other song.
Hey, stay tuned. That's coming next on Rockline with Tony Banks on the Global Satellite Network. Our number's toll-free, 1-800-344-ROCK. We're talking rock and roll on the Global Satellite Network. And welcome back to Rockline. This is BC, Bob Coburn, hanging out with you in the evening hours across North America. Tony Banks is our guest tonight. From the new CD by Tony Still, we'll play a song that features Fish as vocalist. We mentioned this a moment ago. This is a good one. It's an epic, about 9 minutes or so. It's called Another Murder of a Day, from Still by Tony Banks on Rockline. That is a quality piece of music. Another Murder of a Day. That is from Still by Tony Banks, with Fish as the vocalist on that track. Michael has waited patiently to talk to Tony Banks. He's in Madison, Wisconsin, a listener of 101.5 WIBA-FM. Michael, you are on.
Yeah, first of all, hi, Tony. And I'd also like to say hi to all my friends on the Genesis computer list that a couple of people already mentioned. And my question is about Another Murder of a Day. And it's a very it's very much like a song that you'd almost expect for a Fish plus Tony Banks being like something that would be like for Genesis 20 years ago, unlike the other two songs he's done with them. And was that the idea, Tony?
Well, I did think that if I wanted to do a song of that kind, the most logical, you know, doing a song with Fish, the idea of doing a long song with him seems an obvious idea, I suppose. I mean, I think, it does recall earlier Genesis, certainly, but I think it has other aspects of it, to it as well. You know, the combination of us together produces something slightly different from perhaps what you got out of an early Genesis track. I just think it's a nice piece of music. What can I say? I like the way it ends up sounding. So if it reminds some people of earlier stuff, that's great. It was something that felt good at the time.
There you go, Michael. Thank you. We'll take a brief time out. We'll return with Tony Banks in just a moment. Return with us, won't you? It's Rockline. All right, last segment with Tony Banks on Rockline tonight. Let's hit the ground running. We have Tim on the line in Buffalo, New York. They've been in the news lately. 97 Rock, our station. Tim, you're on the Rockline.
Tony, how you doing tonight?
I'm very well, thanks.
Tony, I have a couple quick questions for you. Will there be a live album and a video after the next tour?
There's a strong possibility we might do a live album. We haven't done one for a very long time, and there's most of the things we're doing in this show will be kind of different from what was on the last live album, I think. It would be a good time to do one, I think. It would be nice to do it. I think it's starting to sound very good, and I think it would be a good moment to do one.
Yeah, we'd like it. What else, Tim?
One other question. One of my favorite songs you wrote, Me and Sarah Jane, could you explain the meaning behind that song?
Well, it was like kind of a bit of a dream, really. It was a sort of, you know, you start off with an idea. There's no real meaning to it, you know. I mean, it really was done like when you're trying to go to sleep and sort of ideas keep buzzing around your head. And I wrote just a sort of thought process thing like that. And this name, Sarah Jane, that kind of got into my head, just sort of got involved in the song. And I thought, well, why not? And it just fitted so well with the lyric, with the music, that I'd sort of make the thing based on that. But it doesn't really have a particular meaning. It is really like a sort of continuity kind of a song where you start with one idea and then you leads to another and leads to another. And that was the idea of the song, the lyric of the song anyhow.
Tim, thank you very much. Tony Banks is enjoying some of that Texas hospitality at 101 KLOL in Houston, and that's
Is it so obvious?
Well, hopefully they're taking good care of you there. It sounds like they are. Anyway, the next caller is listening to that radio station in Spring, Texas, and his name is Randy. Hey, Randy, you're on.
I was going to ask, are you guys practicing in the blimp base, or are you just setting up the two stages there?
No, we're practicing there. We are actually... we're doing a kind of at least one rehearsal every day of the whole show, and then we're also going through. We got video stuff and light stuff and everything. It's been, you know, we're working there all day. But the real reason why we're in that place, because we did 3 or 4 weeks of rehearsal back in England before we came out here, of the music. So the music is fairly well rehearsed, in fact. The main thing we're out there for is to get the lights and the other video effects and things together, which is quite elaborate. So there's quite a lot of work to be done there.
Randy, thank you very much. And Tony, I think you're having much too much of a good time back there. So you can keep a lid on things. All right? I want to thank everybody for listening and calling. Next week, Rockline welcomes singer-songwriter Melissa Etheridge. Coming soon, Gary Moore. Also, Geddy Lee and Alex Lifeson of Rush, Emerson, Lake, and Palmer debuting their new album, Kiss, and a whole lot more. Some special thank yous tonight go to Tony Smith, also Cheryl Martinelli and Mal Craggs of Hit and Run, to John Sigler and Mark Niederhauser of Giant Records, also Ted Edwards and Richard Cabrera, John Allen, Jeanette Andrews, and all the staff there at KLOL in Houston for obviously taking good care of Tony there tonight. We appreciate it. Wish I was down there with you, having some fun with you there, Tony. And also to Tony Banks of Genesis. And Tony, after all these years and all these albums without your picture on them, you give us an album with your picture on it, and you give us one with your eyes closed. Why, Tony?
Well, you know, that's the thing, isn't it? I mean, it was much against my better judgment that a picture of me appeared on the front of the cover at all, but I don't know, the guy who was involved with designing the cover, he came across this picture and he said, well, it says still to him, you know, and then he showed it to the record company and they said, well, you got to have it. So I said, grudgingly, I said yes.
And there you go. All right. Look for Genesis on tour. They're touring stadiums throughout North America. They'll be coming your way soon. Tony, thank you very much for being here, and enjoy the tour, and good luck with Genesis. And I hope this record takes off for you here too as well.
Thanks very much.
All right. Tony Banks, our guest tonight. I'm BC, and I'll be seeing you in a week.